Okay, Sean, our boss, today's daf is Yuma daf Pei Aleph, and we're here at the two dots on Pei on the Beis. Our Mishnah had said Kol Ochlin, and the next word in the Mishnah would be Mitzdarfin, right? They combine, right? We said that food combines, liquid combines, right? We talked yesterday about the Shira, food is a Koseves, liquid is a Malilugmav, and those things combine. We said yesterday in the time it takes for Kedei Achilas Pras. But we said that food and liquid do not combine. That was the end of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, I'm going to papa. Achal umtza umilcha. If you eat some meat and some salt, right, you add some salt on the meat to season it. So the seasoning, mitzdarif, that combines. Even though salt is not really food, right, just eating straight salt is not a chila. But that's the salt combined with the meat, that's going to be a shear in and of itself. So they combine to koseves, you'll be chayav. So afagav de lav achila, even though eating salt is not really food, came to achli inshi mitzdarfin. Since people eat it like that, so it is combined. Amar esh lakish, seer shal gabe yerek. Similarly, if you have some fish brine that is on top of a vegetable, is like a dressing or whatever, that's also mitzdarf le koseves, right? Even though the brine, the chor, is a liquid, right? We said in liquid and food do not combine, but this is like a dressing, that's how people eat it, that is mitzdarf for a koseves b'yom kippurim. The Gemara says pshita, obviously. The Gemara says, well, ma'u detema, you might have thought mashkehu. No, you might have thought that the dressing is considered to be a liquid and they don't combine. Kamash ma'an, therefore, he's teaching us, Reish Lakish is teaching us, kol achshure uchla ochlehu. Anything that enables the food to be eaten, but that's going to be considered food. Amar Shlakish, Ochel Achila Gasa b'Yom Kippurim. If a person eats Achila Gasa on Yom Kippur, Achila Gasa is when you overeat so much that it is actually not healthy, right? It's destructive, right? The food, you're not actually doing anything with the food. You're making yourself more gross, right? It's more disgusting. So if a person overeats, so that is Potter, you're not chayiv for that type of eating on Yom Kippur. You're going to ask me, how did you get to the point of overeating? You must have stuffed yourself so sick on Yom Kippur. Well, the eating you did at the beginning was not overeating. So that's a good question. And Rashi talks about that. And he says, no, the case must be that by Sudo Mafsekes on Erev Yom Kippur, you just stuffed yourself silly. And now anything else that you put inside your stomach will be revolting, right? It's just eating and you're becoming more nauseous as you eat. That's a chila gasa. And that takes place on Yom Kippur, right? Obviously, the eating that you did to get to that point was on Erev Yom Kippur. So if you eat that is not considered halakhic eating, and therefore you're a potter. My time, huh? What is the reason? So what's the reason that, before you ask what's the reason a chila gasa doesn't count, what's the reason Achila on Yom Kippur is usur, right? If you remember, like we've been talking about, well, yeah, a person is supposed to afflict himself, right? Lo suna, that's that pasuk is fine, right? We can call it lo suna. Right? A person has to afflict himself, and if he eats something that pains himself, that's not considered to be, right, not afflicting yourself, right? The food, right, is satiation, right? Feeling good, feeling like you ate something, that makes a person feel better. But if you're doing an achila, that makes him feel worse. So that's not the point. That doesn't help. And that's what the Gemara says, right? My time, what's the reason? I share those sunexiv. Right? Prat lamazik. Right? We're going to exclude someone from the iser of eating. Right? A person is, again, what does the pasuk mean? I share those suna. It means anybody who doesn't afflict himself at Yom Kippur will become, is chayav akaris. So that excludes someone who damages himself. Meaning, when you achila gasa, makes you more nauseous, makes you more sick, makes you feel like you have to throw up, makes you, I don't know, whatever. So that's not enjoying yourself at all with food, and that's not the iser. Right? The concept is to afflict yourself, and eating achila gasa does not make you feel any better, it makes you feel worse. So that doesn't count. I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah, I'm Reish Lakish. Zar shalachot truma achila gasa. Similarly, if a non-kohen eats truma, but the eating he's doing is achila gasa, meaning he stuffed himself silly, now the eating he's doing is achila gasa, it's like destructive. So mishalem is a keren, veinu mishalem is a chomesh. So he has to pay what he ate, because obviously he damaged the kohen's property, but you don't pay the chomesh. The chomesh, right, an extra one-fifth, which is really one-fourth in our vernacular, that a non-kohen who eats truma, Bishoge, he has to pay one-fifth, but if he didn't do a proper achila, so that he does not have to pay that. Because the pasuk says ki yochal, right? The pasuk says someone who eats it, right? It's a problem mazik. Eating it, right, is not the same as mazik. Now mazik, interesting. Rashi says if you look at Rashi, problem mazik lezesh einu mevatel mazik hu es ha'ochlin ves atzmo. That's three lines up in Rashi. Rashi said, what does the Gemara say when he means that he's damaging? He's damaging himself and he's damaging the food. How is he damaging the food? Well, think about it. Food is meant to be consumed. Right, and give nourishment to people. If you're eating it and it's making you sicker and you have to either throw up or whatever, and it's not providing any nourishment, any benefit, physical benefit, so it's like you lit a match on and burned this food on, burned it a lot, right? Lit a match, burned the food on, and just like threw it out or whatever. It's as if you damage the food. It's not helping you eat whatsoever. Okay, I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Zar shekosim se'orim shel truma. If a non-kohen is kosim se'orim, se'orim is barley, Rashi says Rashi says if you look at the top of koses, kol davar shu ochlo shel kederach achilaso, korele koses, right, some sort of weird lo kederach achilaso, you eat it not in the normal, manner. Maybe you're chewing it or you're eating raw barley. Obviously barley has to be cooked. It's not the normal way of eating it. So, Mishalim is a Karen Velim, and Mishalim is a Chomesh. Same idea, right? As we said before, right? He's going to pay the value of the item he damaged, but he doesn't have to pay the Chomesh because it's not eating, because the Pasuk says, Ki Yochal Prat le Mazik. Okay. Amar of Shizbi, Amar of Yochanan. Zarsha Bala Shizifin Shel Truma. If a non Kohen swallowed Shizifin, a Shizif is a prune. If he swallows prunes of Truma, Veden Vehikion, and then he spit them back out. Disgusting, right? Okay, but fine. So achlan acher, and then someone else ate them. He washed it off, right? He swallowed it whole, so he didn't chew it. So the chorit, I guess it's still whole. Spits it back out. Someone else eats them. So what's the halacha? So rishon mishal and karen v'chomesh. The first one pays the karen and the chomesh because that's already swallowing. Rashi says is a normal way of eating. Even you wouldn't swallow prunes, but I guess anything, right? Small pills or small things that are normally swallowed. Swallowing does count as eating. But the shani, second guy, ein mishalim ela d'me eitzim l'rishon bilvad, he doesn't even pay the value of the prunes, he just pays the value of the firewood. Now, why is that? Because, right, they're not really fit for eating, right? Rashi writes, ein ruyos od el la'asaka, right? Again, when a person regurgitates food, that's not really food anymore. That's just, again, you know, the most minimal value. That's the code phrase. When he says it's d'me eitzim, that's code phrase for, it's just you pay the most minimal value because really all it's good for is burning. Okay, fine. We said that food and drink do not combine. Man Tana, who is the Tana of our Mishnah? That's a machlokes. Rabbi Yeshua, he, and it's Rabbi Yeshua Shita. Now, why does it not just say it's Rabbi Yeshua Shita? Why do you have to tell me it's a machlokes? So Pasha says, the Rishonim or the Achronim, I'm not sure where I saw it, says that because we're about to quote a Mishnah, that Mishnah does not quote a dissenting opinion. So he's clarifying that it's Rabbi Yeshua Shita, but there are, as the Tanakhama, there are Chachamim who argue on him, even though it's not quoted. Okay, either way, that's not like we're looking at the Mishnah. This Mishnah is in, what is it, Me'ila? Yeah, Me'ila. Am Rabbi Yeshua. Kol shetumasu v'shiuro shava mitzdarev. When you're talking about combining shiurim, combining items, so you have to have two things, according to Rabbi Yeshua. You have to have the tuma has to be the same, and the shear has to be the same. What's an example? What does that mean? So by tuma, right, there are different different lengths. Right, if a person, for example, is metame tuma meis, so then he's tame for 7 days. If a person would touch a sheretz, so he's just metame that day, right, and he has to go to the mikveh at night. Right, harav shemesh, right, we've discussed in this previous previous dafim in this daf yomi cycle. But so that's A, meaning if you're talking about combining items, they have to have the same amount of tuma. So a half a kazayas of mace and half a kazayas of a sheretz, right, will not combine. In addition, they also have to have the same shear. For example, the shear of a mace, right, is a kazayas. The shear of a sheretz is a kadasha, which is like a bean, which is smaller. So that also, for that reason as well, they're not going to combine. So again, both of them have to be equal. So that's the Gemara, that's Rabbi Yeshua Shita. Kol shema tuma, so v'shiuro shava, right, if both the length of tuma that you're going to be tummy, however many days you're going to be tummy for, and the shear of how much makes you tummy, if they're both equal, then mitzdarif, then the two items in question will combine. But tumaso v'lo shiuro, shiuro v'lo tumaso, but if you have either or that are not the same, so then lo tumaso, and certainly lo tumaso v'lo shiuro, if neither of them are the same. So then, ein mitzarfen. So that's our Mishnah, right? Because our Mishnah says liquid and food do not combine. Liquid, the shear is mali lugma. Food, the shear is kosevis, right? So therefore, they don't combine. Rav Nachman Amar, Rav Nachman says, afil dim rabbanan. Now you can even say that our Mishnah, right, the rabbanan who disagree with Rabbi Yeshua, they could even hold like our Mishnah. Why? Because I kind of call me Rabbanan Hassam. The Chachamim say over there that they do combine Elinim Tumah. Right? Why do they combine for Tumah? Right? Let's say a sheretz and a body or a bone or whatever. Why? The shame Tumah Chadi. Because maybe just Tumah is Tumah. Right? Why does it matter how long your tummy for? Tumah is Tumah. Avalakam over here. Mishum the Yisuvi Daitahu. Right? What's the factor in Yom Kippur? The factor in Yom Kippur is not whether you eat. It's whether you feel better, right? You feel satiated, right? Your mind is put at ease. Right? If a low mitzvah daisy, but if you have a half a shear of liquid and half a shear of food, that doesn't necessarily make a person feel better, right? We had yesterday that the Chazal had an assumption that a person feels better at a kosevis, feels better when he has a malei lugmav. So half of each, right, doesn't necessarily mean that they will feel better. Rish Lakish also said that it's a machokas, but in Rabbi Yeshua's, right, versus the Chachamim, right, Rabbi Yeshua, and our Mishnah is Rabbi Yeshua, the Tzan, like the Mishnah, Klavam, Rabbi Yeshua, etc. Okay, so he says as well. Rabbi Yochanan says, I feel Timur Rabbanan, like just said, right, the Chachamim could even hold like our Shita, the Mishnah, because that can't look at me, Rabbanan Hassam, El Linyan Tuma, Aval Hacha, Mishum Yisuvi Daitihu, the high low, Mishum Yisuvi Daitihu, the high low caught Miyasu Daitihu, right, the same back and forth that we just quoted a minute ago. Okay, new Mishnah now says the Mishnah, Acha Vashasa Behelam Echad. If a person ate and drank on Yom Kippur in one helim, helim literally means a forgetting, and halacha is like this, right? When we talk about doing something b'shogeg, what does it mean b'shogeg? A lot of people think that b'shogeg means by accident. That's not true. If a person is going up the stairs and for whatever reason loses his balance and leans into the light switch on Shabbos and turns it off, that's not b'shogeg. That's an onus. That's not b'shogeg. B'shogeg means you're missing information. You're negligent to the point where you're missing information. What information are you missing? Two possibilities. Either you don't know it's usher, or you know that it's usher, but you don't know the circumstances surrounding the situation. So, for example, if you thought that turning on the light switch on Shabbos is mutter, so that would be b'shogeg, and you turned it on, that would be b'shogeg. Or, if you knew it was usher, but you thought it was Sunday, that's also considered to be an isser b'shogeg, you'd be chayv korban chatas. Now, when you're chayv, when you do something b'shogeg, and you're chayv korban chatas, that is only, right, within one forgetting. I mean, that's what we're talking about. Meaning a person forgot it was Shabbos, or forgot it was Usher, or in this case, forgot it was Usher to eat on Yom Kippur, or forgot it was Yom Kippur. So while he still has forgotten, that is considered to be one helim, one forgetting. Right? If he then remembers and then forgets again, that would be another sin, and then does the Avera again, then he would have to bring another korban. But as long as he's has one forgetting, right? That's one helam. That's what we say. So if a person eats and drinks, says the Mishnah, in one forgetting, he's only chayav one korban. That's considered to be the same iser. Eating and drinking is the same iser. Obviously, if you would anoint himself, that's a different iser. But eating and drinking is the same iser. Fine. That's probably a bad example because anointing himself, right, we discussed, that may not be Daraisa. Okay, fine, Pashtas, right, let's leave that aside. Put that in parentheses. Maybe I'll even strike that from the record. Either way, you eat and drink on one helam on Yom Kippur, right, you only have to bring one korban. Ah, so there we go. That's a better example. If he ate and he did malacha on Yom Kippur, so then chayiv shtei chatos. You chayiv two korban chatos. But if he ate food that's not really ready to be eaten, right, and he drank something that's not really ready to be drank, drunken, I don't know, whatever it is. So v'shasa tzir or murius, or if he drank tzir is fish brine, murius is also kind of like similar, kind of like fat or something, fish fat or something. So then potter, again, that's not that he's going to be potter, right? That's right. Not, it's not really things that are normally ingested on their own. Okay, Amar Reish Lakish, again, we'll talk to that. I don't think we're going to get that today, but the Gemara will talk about that plain either tomorrow. Amar Reish Lakish said, "Mipnei ma'at lo nemra azhara b'inui." Why does the Torah not say an azhara by an inui? Meaning, it does not say an azhara when a person, when the Torah says, right, we said you need two things to be chayav for a punishment. We need an azhara, we need to tell me that it's asur, and you need an onesh, we need that to tell me the punishment. Problem is, by inui, right, by afflicting yourself on Yom Kippur, right, there's no azhara per se. Right? It's no Azhara per se, meaning it's written in the form of that you should afflict yourself, not that you shouldn't eat or you shouldn't anoint yourself. So the Gemara wants to know, Rish Lakish wants to know, why didn't it write it in a negative way? Right? Why didn't it say, don't do this? Instead, it says, afflict yourself. Right, so like v'ini semis nafsho seichem, for example, it's a positive, right? Afflict yourself, not lo sochlu, not don't eat. So Gemara says, why didn't you write it like that? V'shem shul do lefsher, because it was impossible. There's no way for him to write it like that. There's no way for the Torah to write it like that. Heichi nechtav, what are you going to write? Nechtav rachmana lo yachal. If the Torah says don't eat, it's achilu kazayis. But then you'll understand that the shir is a kazayis, because all other ishurim by isri achilu, we said yesterday, is a kazayis. Our shir in Yom Kippur is a kosevis. So you can't write that. Nichtov rachmana lo suna, right? If a person's, if the phrase is, they substituted the word suna, right, afflict, for achila, so that's a problem, because then it says, don't afflict yourself. So that implies, kum echo mashma, that implies that you should go eat something, right? Obviously, we don't want that, so what else are we going to do? So it must be, right, the only way to write it was, you know, v'nisim es nafsho seichem, etc. Maskevla Rav Hashaya said, wait a minute. Nechtov Rachmana, Hishamar Pen Lo Suna. Right? Why didn't you say, guard yourself, because maybe you won't afflict yourself. Make sure you don't not afflict yourself. You could write that. So the Gemara says, In came the Fishi Lu Lave. Well, that might imply that there are more than one Lav. Right? Because we said, right, the phrase that the Gemara says often, Hishamar Pen Al, right? All those imply Alo Sase. Well, you have all those words there. So you may that would imply that there are two Yisurim involved, even though there's only one. Maskevla Rav Bibi Bar Abaye. Rav Bibi Bar Abaye said, asked the following question: okay, what about Nechtov Rachmana? He shamar mitzvos inui. Right, be careful about the mitzvah of afflicting yourself. So it says, Imkain, he shamar de lav he shamar de ase. Right, again, that also you might have thought. What's that? Right, if you're telling me that he shamar de lav. Lavi shamar da ase ase, right? That would you might. That's a double negative. You might have thought that they're telling you that again, they're telling you what's the pshat over here? That one second. Sorry. Right. Sorry. So in Kain he shamar da lavi shamar da asehu. Right. When you have the word he shamar by a lav, so that implies a lav. But here you have he shamar. You might. By an asay, meaning what's the suggestion? Is hishamer b'mitzvas inui. Make sure you keep the mitzvah of afflicting yourself. That might have implied that it's not an iser, it's not a lav, but it's an asay. So that, we don't want that, because it's obviously an iser to, you don't have to actively afflict yourself. The point here is to abstain from positive enjoyment types of things. So maskeler Ravashi, finally the last question, and this is Gemara will concede, actually you have a decent point, right? Nichtov al toser mina inui. Right? Why didn't the Torah just say, don't refrain from afflicting yourself? Right? There you have one iser, right? And that seems to imply, right? Make sure you don't refrain from afflicting yourself. So then the Gemara says, Kasha, yeah, that's okay, that's a good one. With that, I don't know. Fine, obviously Kasha is not the same as Tiyufta, but okay, but it must have been some sort of answer you could have given. Okay, fine. Weiter. V'tana ma'isi lo mehacha. Now, we said before, right, some people learn the Azhara is from over here. Maybe some people learn the Azhara for eating and drinking Yom Kippur from this Pasuk, right? A different Tana says the following. So the Pasuk says, V'nisem es nafshu zeichem, v'chol malacha lo sasu. Right? You have to afflict yourself and don't do malacha. Yochol yehi onesh al tosevus malacha. You might have thought you get a punishment for tosevus malacha, meaning on doing malacha on tosevus Yom Kippur. Right, again, at the beginning of Yom Kippur, we add a little bit, right? There's a mitzvah of Tosefes Yom Kippurim. The Torah says, as we'll see on today's, we'll darshan it out, that there's an addition to Yom Kippur at the beginning. You might have thought that if you do malacha during that addition, so you'd be chayiv kari, so therefore, Talmud Lomar, v'chol nefesh asher sasa kol malacha, be'etzem ayom hazeh. Right, meaning that with the iser to do malacha and the chi of kares for doing malacha of Yom Kippur, as the Gemara says, right, al yitzumo shel yom hu onesh kares. Right, you only get punished for doing malacha on Yom Kippur proper. Ve'inu onesh kares al tosefes malacha. You don't get kares for doing malacha during tosefes Yom Kippur. Yachol lo yehi onesh kares al tosefes malacha. Al yehi onesh kares al tosefes inui. Maybe you might have thought that okay, you're not going to get kares for doing Malacha during the Tosefes Zman, during the extra time period we add on to Yom Kippur, but maybe if you ate during that time period, you would get Kares. Tam Alamar, therefore the Pasuk says, Ki Chol Nefesh Asher Lo Su'una Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh V'Nechrusa. Right, that again, the affliction has to be right during the day. Right, Ali Tumah Shel Yom Anush Kares, but you know Anush Kares Al Tosefes Inui. Right, you only get Kares for afflicting yourself on the actual day of Yom Kippur, and not on the Tosefes. Yachu, you might have then thought, Lo Yehei Bichlal Onish, Aval Yehei Muzar Al Tosefes Malacha. You might have thought that, okay, fine, I understand there's no Onish, there's no punishment, but there's, what's it called? You're not allowed to do, there is no pasuk to teach me that you're not allowed to do Tosefes Malacha. Therefore, Tam Alamar Bichlal Malacha Lo Sasu Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. Right? Pazik says, right, you can't do malacha on that day. Ali tumas for yomu muzar, veinu muzar al tosefes malacha. Right, there's no isser from the pasuk. Right, you're meaning the pasuk is saying you should do malacha on Yom Kippur, but the halacha, what's it called? The azhara is only talking about the malacha on Yom Kippur, even though it is, again, don't get me wrong, it is aser midaraisa to do malacha during Tosefes. What's it called? The Tosefes Yom Kippur, right? That's only a mitzvah saseh. Right? It's a mitzvah saseh, but the iser to do malacha, right? The lav, right? That's only on Yom Kippur proper, and therefore you're not going to get malchus. I mean, that's the issue here that Rashi points out, right? You're not going to get malchus for doing malacha during Tosefes Yom Kippur. Yachalo yehi muzar al Tosefes malacha. Okay, you might have thought that fine. There's no iser, there's no lav here for Tosefes doing malacha during Tosefes Yom Kippur. Aval, but yehi muzar al Tosefes inui. Right, maybe there should be an iser for Tosefes Inui, right? Maybe there'll still be a lav for eating or drinking, afflicting all those things, all the Chamesh Inuyim on during Tosefes Yom Kippur. Vidinu, and it makes sense that it might be illogical. Umam Malacha Shenoeges B'Shabbos Yom Tov Enu Muzar Alav Aleha. Just like Malacha that applies elsewhere, not only, right, the Isra Malacha only applies elsewhere, not only on Yom Kippur, but applies also by Shabbos and Yom Tov, but there's no Musar, there's no Isra Midaraisa to do Malacha during those Tosefes Yom Kippur. So Inui, this whole concept of afflicting yourself, right, Inui doesn't apply anywhere else but Yom Kippur, right, so certainly, right, it would make sense that it also shouldn't be in Isra Lav during Tosefes Yom Kippur. Aval Azhara Le'inoy Shel Yom Atzmo Lulamanu. But the Azhara for afflicting yourself on Yom Kippur proper, we have not learned. I mean, Nayin, how do you know? So that is the Gemara Darshan's out from Gzeira Shava. Lo Yomar Onesh B'Malacha the Gemara Me'inoy. You didn't need to tell me the punishment by doing Malacha on Yom Kippur, because we could have learned it from the punishment, the Kares punishment of Inui, of afflicting yourself. If a person, Rachman Latzlan, eats on Yom Kippur, but the Torah says, Ma Inui Sheinu Noeg B'Shabbos V'Yom Tov Onesh Kares. The Torah says the punishment for eating on Yom Kippur, afflicting yourself, doing one of the five Inuyim, is Kares. Inui is specific to Yom Kippur, and yet the punishment is Kares. Malacha, so therefore work, right? The Isra Malacha Sheinu B'Shabbos V'Yom Tovim, this Isra work. This Isra of doing malacha, which is more broad, applies in other cases. Lakol shekein, certainly the onesh should be kares. Why that concept of the Isra malacha is more machmir? This Gemara says laman nemar. So therefore, why is it tell me again by the Isra malacha? By Isra malacha you chayev kares lahakish v'ladun mimena gzeira shava. Apparently, it's free and available to learn gzeira shava. Right, nemar onesh be inoy, but nemar onesh be malacha. Right, you have the word, you have the punishment. Is written, the kares is written by doing malacha on Yom Kippur. The punishment is written, the kares is written by the inuyim on Yom Kippur. And malacha lo anash ella imkin his here. And just like by malacha, you only get a punishment if there's a nazara. So af inui lo anash ella imkin his here. But so too, by inuyim, right, it must be that there is an azhara, and therefore, right, that's the azhara for not, doing the chamesh inuyim on Yom Kippur. Ikal Mefrach, you can ask the question, Ma'ali Inui She Lo Husar Miklalo. Wait, 1 second. Inui is not Hutar, what's it called? Miklalo, meaning there's nothing else involving Inui. Meaning that's, Lo Hutar Miklalo, that's the entire concept, right? It's not nothing left over, right, from that halacha. But Torah Malacha Shehutar Miklalo, but how can you tell me right? That how could you learn malacha from Inui? On the one hand, Inui, right? Again, we said before that Inui is less chamor because it only applies to Yom Kippur, and malacha is more broad, so therefore malacha is more machmir. So if something applies to Inui, certainly it applies to malacha. Maybe the opposite is true. Maybe that really Inui is more machmir because lohuter michalo, right? Nothing else is excluded here, right? And meaning, but by malacha. Right, there is exceptions, right, by malacha, right? There are things that are mutter when you're talking about malacha, meaning the inuyim apply across the board regardless, period, hands down. Right? You cannot do any of the chamesh inuyim in any circumstances in Yom Kippur. Obviously, pikuach nefesh is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in other scenarios. You can't do any of the five inuyim. Malacha is mutter michlolo, meaning it is mutter in certain scenarios. For example, in the Beis HaMikdash, they did all these korbanos. All those, the shechita and all that stuff, that was a lot of malacha, and that was mutter, right? So maybe inui is more machmir than malacha because by inui that always applies. By malacha it depends. Sometimes there's scenarios where malacha is mutter. So therefore, how could you learn that kal v'chomer? So Gemara says, Ella, rather no. Okay, fine. So flip it the other way. Lo yomar onesh, meaning if it says you get kares by both of them, right, and one of them is unnecessary. So if you start the logic from Inui, then go to Malacha, and then you realize that Inui is more Machmir than Malacha, so just flip it backwards, right? And that's what the Gemara does. Lo yomar onesh be Inui de Gemara Malacha, right? You don't need to write the punishment of Kares by Inui, because you could learn it from Malacha. If just like by Malacha, which is mutter sometimes, you get Kares for violating it, so Inui lo huter mechalo lo culture gains. So certainly, right? If Inui, which is never mutter in Yom Kippur, right, you certainly should be getting kares. So Gemara says, therefore, lama nemar. Why does it therefore the pasuk say that you get kares for not afflicting yourself in Yom Kippur? Mufna, it's available lahakish v'ladim mimenu gzereshava to make gzereshava. And the drasha we learned before, nemar onesh be inui, but nemar onesh be malacha says the punishment by both of them. Ma malacha anash v'hizir af inui anash v'hizir. It must be that both of them have a punishment stated and the azhara, the warning and the iser. So therefore, right, that's where you get the azhara for inui. Gemara says, okay, but ikal mifrach. But you could just ask the logic, meaning that logic doesn't hold either because you have the other tzad chamor that we just talked about 5 minutes ago. Right? Ma'ala malacha shekeinu hagid b'shavas yom tovim. Right? The isur malacha is more broad and it applies to more cases. How can that be teach you anything about the halacha of inui, which is only specific to Yom Kippur? So Ravina says, and here we go. Hai tana etzem etzem gamar. So it must be you're right. You have a gzer shava etzem etzem. Right, just like etzem ayom hazeh, right? Just again by malacha as well, and by inui. So again, apparently we connect the two, and therefore just like there's an azhara and a onesh by inui, so too there's an azhara and an onesh by malacha, or vice versa. Okay, and the Gemara says mufna. And actually, this pasuk, this etzem etzem, is available to teach a gzera shava. Elsewhere in the Gemara, the Gemara explains that if a gzera shava is not available completely to learn, so then you can ask questions on it. But if a gzera shava is completely available and you're not doing anything else with that pasuk, so then you can ask kashas. Meaning, again, a gzera shava was passed down from Moshe Rabbeinu. But what they say is that basically, if that word is completely used for this gzera shava, so then is no kashas, and that's what the Gemara says here. And therefore, mufna, it must be available for this gzera shava alone. Right? D'ilo mufna, because if it was not, ikel mifrach to kede brachina. Right? If you would not be free, you needed that pasuk for other things, and you're learning the gzera shava bekoshi, so then you could ask all these questions that we just did for the last 10 minutes. Okay, le'eya afnuye mufna. And for sure it's an open available pasuk to do gzera shava because as follows chamisha kroy ksive b'malacha, right? It says five psukim about malacha on Yom Kippur. Chad lazhar d'yomama, chad lazhar d'layla. One for telling me that it's usher to do malacha during the day. One to tell me it's usher to do malacha at night. Chad la onish d'yomama, chad la onish d'layla. One to tell me it's usher kares if you do it during the day, if you do malacha as well at night. And the last one, the fifth one, v'chalaf nuyin lemikmar inui mimalacha ben diyamama ben delele. And the last one is for the gzera shava, right, that we just learned. Why? It's very strange that, Agav, that you would need to teach me that it's usher to do malacha both at night and during the day, and that the punishment is the same, right? We know the Jewish day starts at night. Why would you need psukim to tell me it's usher to do malacha at night of Yom Kippur and during the day of Yom Kippur. That's very strange. Right? They tell me it's Asher Dibalach on Shabbos. We understand Friday night and Shabbos, that's the same thing. Why would you need two drushes? So Pashas is the Achronim talk about is that because the Pasuk says very clearly, as we pointed out already, Be'etzem Ayom Hazeh, right? You can't do Malacha on this day. So you might have thought, yeah, the Pasuk is being literal, right? During the day you can't do Malacha, but maybe, right, up until, you know, the morning, maybe you can do Malacha. So the Gemara, right, needed another Pasuk to teach me. No, that's not what it means. It means, just like any other Shabbos Yontif, there's a Isra Malacha both at night during the day. Okay, another possibility, or how do you know that there's an Azhara by Inui on Yom Kippur? Debei Rabbi Yishmael Tana, he learned Nemakan Inui, Venemar Lahalan Inui. Now, where is Lahalan? So it says Inui, the word Inui over here by us, and it also says the word Inui by someone who rapes a Nara Amurasa, rapes a girl who is engaged. Now, again, just to clarify, back then, engaged didn't mean engaged, it meant half married. And they used to do Kiddushin and Nisuin right a year apart. So they do Kiddushin, right? They give her the ring, Harei Mekudesh, Mazel, whatever, Mazel Tov. The husband would go make a Parnasa for I don't know, for a year, but for a while. And then they would get married and then do Nisuin. So while Anara Murasa, a woman who is quote-unquote engaged, means she had Kiddushin, she's a full-fledged Eishes Ish. She is a married woman. So you're not obviously not allowed to sleep with anybody else. So if the guy rapes her, right, so that's very bad, right? She doesn't have to dissolve the marriage because she got raped, right? She didn't do it willingly, but that's the whole concept of Nara Morosa. So this is over there, the word, the pasuk says, also has the word Inui. So Malahala lo Anash Elimkin. He's here, so too, right, just like over there, by the, what's it called? By the Nara Morosa, what is the pasuk here? Vel Asia Zemiz Echadol Shetinj Chavdechadol Zorah, right? You shouldn't. Well, that's not the pasuk of Inui. Al Devar Asher Ino Es Eishes Reyehu. Right? They use the word Inui to connote a forcible relationship. So that you have the word Inui there, and your word V'Inui Semes Nashos Echem, obviously by Yom Kippur. Just like over there by Na Marasa, you're not going to punish unless there's an Isser and an Azhara. Afkan Lo Anosh Ela Imkin Hizir. So too over here by Yom Kippur, there must be an Azhara and a punishment. Rav Akiva bar Yaakov Amar, Rav Akiva bar Yaakov says another possibility where this Azhara is for the Isser to the requirement to afflict yourself in Yom Kippur. Yolif Shabbos Shabboson mi Shabbos Bereishis. He learns Shabbos Shabboson from Shabbos. When Shabbos Bereishis doesn't mean Shabbos and Parshas Bereishis. It means Shabbos of Shabbos Bereishis, meaning Shabbos Kodesh. Why does it say Shabbos Bereishis? Okay, because Yom Kippur, as we just pointed out, is also called Shabbos. So you just don't want to make a mistake. Rashi points out sometimes Yom Tov is also called Shabbos, so the Gemara just clarifies Shabbos Bereishis means every seventh day, right? We have Shabbos, right? It's Hashem a couple days from now. So, right, so they have Gzeres Shabbos, 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 Shabbos from Shabbos, right? Ma'a lahalan lo anashim kein elem kein hizir, so afkan lo anash elem kein hizir, right? You connect it to, right? Just like you have an Onesh and Azhara by Shabbos, so too you have an Onesh and Azhara by Yom Kippur. Rav Papa Amar, Rav Papa suggests, who goofe Shabbos Hikri? Right, Yom Kippur itself is Shabbos. Right, the Chiv Tishpesu Shabbatachem. Right, that you have to rest on Shabbos. So therefore, you don't even need the Gzeres Shabbos. I mean, since Yom Kippur is Shabbos, so that's you have an Azhara, right, and an Onesh because you already had it by Shabbos. Right, the same thing. It applies to Yom Kippur as well. Okay, as Gemara says, Bishlam Rav Papa Lo'amar Rav Akiva bar Yaakov. I understand why Rav Papa, remember you said the last one, didn't hold like Rav Akiva bar Yaakov, the Krodik Sive Begufe Yadiv. Because it's better to take a Pasuk from Yom Kippur. Right, what did we use before? Right, Rav Papa, right, uses the Pasuk of Shabbat Shabbaton by Yom Kippur. Right, again, as opposed to using Gzeres Shava. Rav Akiva bar Yaakov, my time alone, Rav Akiva Papa. Right, Rav Papa just said it's pretty good. Right, Yom Kippur itself is called Shabbat Shabbaton, therefore you can use the Onesh HaNazara by Shabbos. So why didn't Rav Akiva bar Yaakov say like Rav Papa? So the Bailei Kedetanya, because Rav Akiva bar Yaakov needed that pasuk of Shabbat Shabbaton for something else. Because right, the pasuk says, "Mi nisemeshna b'tisha l'chodesh." Right, you have to afflict yourself on the ninth. Right, we know that's obviously not Yom Kippur. Right, Yochel Yatchel b'Yitana b'tisha. You might have thought you had to start fasting on the ninth. Tam alomer ba'erev. Right, therefore, excuse me, the pasuk says no at nighttime. And if it was only said at night, Yochel mishatechshach, you might have thought you start from sundown on after the ninth, not a little bit earlier, right? Meaning after, you know, or maybe it's seis, right? After the ninth is over. So therefore, Tamalor b'tisha, you have to fast on the ninth a little bit. Hakeitzad, how does that work? So matchil mitanu mevir yom, right? The person has to start the fast when it's still daytime. Nikanchem masifim michol al kodesh. That's the concept of Tosefes Yom Kippur, by the concept of adding on to Yom Kippur. Right? The Rambam writes this la'alacha. Most Rishonim understand that this is also a concept of Tosefes Shabbos, Tosefes Yom Kippur, Tosefes Yom Tov. That this is also an idea to add on to Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Rambam only writes this concept by Yom Kippur. Okay, there's a lot of literature on that. That's where you see that there's an idea, there's an Indian to add on to Yom Kippur. Midoraisa. Vainly ela b'knisa. So, that only teaches me, because it says the ninth, that only teaches me before Yom Kippur starts. Right? How do you know b'tziyasu minayin? How do you know you also have to add a little bit at the end? Tamalor me erev ad erev. Right? From evening till evening. Right? So, also you have to add on at the end. Vainly ela Yom Kippur. And that's only Yom Kippur. Yom Tov b'Shabbos was minayin. How do you know about Shabbos? Yom Tov tamalomer tish b'su. Right? You should rest. Okay? Vainly ela Yom Tov b'Shabbos. Yom Tov minayin. Okay, that's what the Girsa thing here. Right? But how do you know Yom Tov as well? So tamalomer, the pasuk says, Shabbat Dechem. Right? You're Shabbos. Right? Okay, so how does that work? Komal kom shenemar shvus. Anytime it says Shavuos, you should rest. Right, you have to add from the weekday. And again, as I pointed out, right, a lot of Rishonim and Achronim attack the Rambam for only quoting Tosefes Yom Kippur. Right, it seems from the Gemara that there's a concept of Tosefes Shabbos and Tosefes Yom Tov as well. Right, perhaps even Midoraisa. Okay, V'tana, just do a little bit more. Gets to the two dots. V'tana de etzem etzem, right? High v'tishah lachodesh ma'avid. Again, the Tana who says that v'etzem etzem is the what's it called? This is the gzera shava. That's how we started. Right? Well, not started, but that was a while ago. Right? What does he do with the pasuk of v'tishah lachodesh? Right? Because we just had a whole drasha over here. What does he learn that? What does he learn from that? So mebayler the to Rabbi Chia bar Rav Midifti. Right? He learns the following halacha: the Tana Rabbi Chia bar Rav Midifti, perhaps well known drasha from this pasuk. V'nisem esnasu zechem batisha. You should afflict yourself on the ninth. V'chiv batisha misanin. We don't fast on the ninth. Follow be'es be'asarid misanin. We fast on the tenth. Ela lo melachot rather to say kol ochol b'shosu b'chi myle alav hakasuv kilu hisana tishi v'asiri. Right? The Torah considers it as if he fasted on the 9th and the 10th. So right, the pasuk says, right, it's very commendable to fast as much, to eat as much as you can on the 9th, to prepare for the fast on the 10th. Okay, Shkoyah Kodah Rabosu, we'll fight you on the Shas tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.